stimulate some thinking. I want you to think about how some of these things can interrupt, hinder your Christian life if you allow it to be. So in some ways it may be a message that has a little bit of exhortation involved in it. But it's based on the Word of God, and we want people to be aware. We want them to be sensitive to the fact that we have a subtle enemy in the world system. And that's because it's an environment. It's an influence. And so for those that are still here on earth, we're in it. And but we're not out from it. In other words, we don't belong to it, but we're in this environment. And so we, in this environment is not our friend. This is the world system is a real spiritual enemy. And so hopefully with that in mind, God can use this in your thinking and your thinking of your position here on earth, but also of where you're imputed to be at the right hand. Because when we start thinking about some of the subtleties of the world system, it really comes down to the Christian life, and we've mentioned this over and over. It's a battle for the mind. It's a battle for the mind. And the world system is trying to influence you to see yourself in a way that it defines the standards or the criteria by which you're seeing yourself rather than by what God says about us in His Word. And so this kind of touches on something Don mentioned this morning that I guess Pastor Dave talked about, and we're going to cover some similar things here, because it really comes down to identity. How do you identify yourself? Well, God's Word tells you that you're part of the new creation. You're imputed to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. Well, see, the world system doesn't want to encourage you to think along those lines. The world system wants you to think about where you are here on the planet on Earth, and tends to focus on a lot of differences. You know, what is your race? What is your nationality? What's your income? What's your taste and your likes or your dislikes? How do you identify yourself? Seems like old Satan, in manipulating the world system, you know, he wants to centralize things because he wants control, right? But at the same time, he's employing a divide and conquer mentality. So he divides. He's constantly dividing. And he wants you as a Christian to think about being in some division that's not necessarily scriptural or that important. And that's where the world system can get you. Hopefully we'll touch on some of these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for the opportunities of the day to be in your word, to be with one another, to be reminded of the provisions of grace and the relationship that we have with you through the person and work of our Lord and Savior. And I pray your spirit now can continue to guide and to direct and to illumine, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so when we talk about the world system as an environment, an influence, there's certain things we can see from Scripture. The world system, it promotes living by the flesh. It promotes independence from God. Lewis Sperry Chafer had this to say about the world system. He says, civilization now functioning apart from God. And so civilization now functioning apart from God? That's the environment we live in. And so as Christians, we are in it, but we're not out from it. We don't belong to it. And so it's important to keep in mind that the world system, though, it's designed for people to be independent from God. Now, when we're carnal, and I don't know if everybody puts a win in front, win, but when we're carnal, let's be honest, when we're carnal, which means pertaining to the flesh and having the characteristics of the flesh, the world system provides lots of distractions and standards to keep you living by the flesh. So when you're carnal, the world system is going to give you rules to live by, keep you living by the flesh. It's going to give you things to occupy your mind and your time. And so it kind of goes hand in hand with living by the flesh. Oh, I got a nice wasp here. So we'll give him a little space. One of the things when we talk about the world system encourages individuals to live by the flesh. When you think about living by the flesh, please be reminded or keep in mind that as a Christian, we are neglecting positional truth. There's no way around that. There's no way around that. When you're living by the flesh, you are neglecting positional truth, because as Christians, we do not have to live by the flesh. We have the potential. It's been provided for. It's been taken care of. And positional truth makes it possible. Now, let me look at, so we talked about the carnal Christian, the world system. When we're spiritual, and hopefully we can all say when we're spiritual, when we're spiritual or pertaining to the Spirit or having the characteristics from the Spirit, right? It's interesting, the world system provides opportunities to misdirect agape love. And by misdirecting that agape love at something that the Father is not loving, or something that the Father is not intending to love, this is an interesting way, and this comment or observation is loaded with theology, and I'm not going to go after the details, but when that happens, when a spiritual Christian misdirects agape love, it's actually a misrepresentation of the new nature that we have as a result of the indwelling Father. It's a misrepresentation because we end up doing something that the Father wouldn't do, that wouldn't be natural to the Father. So we actually end up in a sense misrepresenting a quality of the divine nature. And so when you think about that, as a spiritual Christian, then in a sense, the world system is enticing the spiritual believer to pervert the will of God. I mean, if you start boiling this stuff down to it's just a basic essence. Can you say it's the will of God that a spiritual believer direct agape love at something that the Father isn't loving or intending to love? would that be God's will? Well, I would say no. And scripture says, stop loving the world, neither the things that are in the world. And so it ends up being a misrepresentation of a quality of the divine nature. And how that happens is for the spiritual Christian, in a sense, there's a being independent from God at the last moment when that happens, when that agape love is misdirected. There's an independence from the will of God that happens. Just a different way to think of it. I wanted to share that with you because it's interesting to think about how the world system operates and how it's potentially affecting us, not only when we're carnal, but how it might try and entice us when we're spiritual. So while we're here on this planet, at this time in God's plan, right, the world system is operating under the authority and the rule of the malignant evil one. And so this is temporary. This is something that God is allowing. And we happen to be here on this planet at this time in God's plan. And so as we've touched on in the past couple of weeks, while we're here, we are to use the world system. It's the environment we're in. But we're not to abuse it. We're not to abuse it. And so when we looked at that context in 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, we commented that the world system should not be allowed to interfere with our serving Christ. It shouldn't be allowed to interfere with us doing the things that are pleasing to the Lord. And so in that light, we should not be using the world system to its full. And using it to its full, it has the idea of using it to a point where it substitutes things as a priority or something that becomes a priority over our relationship to God and His will. And so that's where it becomes individualized. Because that can literally be anything. Almost anything. You could take anything, and when it becomes more of a priority than God's will or to your relationship to the persons of the Godhead, it's being abused. It's being used to the full. And so, when you think of it, it can be things. It can be things that can become a substitute or come as a priority. It can be relationships. It can be activities. And so all of these things can come in and can hinder us in our present tense salvation because they can take a place really that only God should have as the top priority in our life. And so I want to go back and just be reminded of what 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, because this is the verse that makes reference to they that use the world as not abusing it, I believe is what the King James says. And so that's 1 Corinthians 7:31. It says, and they that use the world, and the word use, as we've commented, it to make use of, to employ. This is a good translation. They that use the world, he says, are using this world as not abusing it. And we've commented on this a couple of times now, I believe. It's the world, the word translated abusing, it's the same root as the word they translated using in compound. And so it has the idea of using to the full extent, to literally be making full use of it, be using it to the uttermost, one way to translate it, or to be fully occupied with. And so I like adding that definition, because a lot of the things, when you think about the world system, it encourages you to be fully occupied with whether it's a thing, a relationship, or an activity. And when you become fully occupied to whatever it is, the thing, the relationship, or the activity is interfering with your serving Christ and pleasing the Lord, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's abusing it. And so this word that they translated abusing, using to the full, in 1 Corinthians 7:31, it's only found two times in the New Testament. And the other occurrence we find over in 1 Corinthians 9:18, where Paul talks about not using his authority to the full extent. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 9, and our word is in 9:18. It's going to be translated abuse in the King James. Let's just back up to verse 16 for a little context. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of or boast of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing just willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation, not of the gospel." You see that ellipsis in the King James. I'm not going to just leave it out. It says, "A dispensation is committed unto me, a stewardship." He says, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge." It's the idea of without charge, at no expense. "That I abuse not my," it says power, it's a word, the Greek word for authority. "That I abuse," or "I don't use to the full extent, my authority in the gospel." And so he goes on and he says in verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself," King James says, "a servant," just enslaved, "unto all, that I might gain the more." And so, in other words, Paul's not using to the full extent. He's not using it to his authority to the uttermost, to demand his rights. He's using it to serve others as a slave. So he's not abusing his authority. And so that's the only other occurrence of our word that we have in 1 Corinthians 7:31. And those who are using this world, not as abusing it, not as making full use of it, not without using it to its uttermost, or not being fully occupied with it, this world system. And then he explains, "For the fashion of this world is passing away." It's a temporary thing. It's a temporary thing, and this using of this malignant evil system, that's temporary as well. So you don't want to get too caught up with it and the things of it. And so using but not being fully occupied is kind of the idea. And so I want to take that concept and I just want to review a few things about the world system. Yeah, keeping this idea of using and abusing or into its full, being fully occupied there. And so we want to consider some of the aspects of the world system that we can get caught up in. And just think about how this might fit in. And this is where this can be a little more of an exhortation. but we live in a society or culture where what man can do is emphasized. In fact, the term culture carries with it the concept of achievement. Achievement. I'll just read a couple definitions regarding culture. The customs, arts, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or other social group. So I just want you to see that idea of achievements. It's part of our culture. What can man do? Now here's another definition. The arts and other manifestations of human intellectual achievement regarded collectively. And so this ties into the culture of the world system. What can man do? Human intellectual achievement, achievements of nations, people, or social groups. And so the world system emphasizes achievements of others apart from God, separate from God. And so our culture here on this planet, because of the world system, leaves out the will of God. Now think about that. I didn't say it leaves out God. Because God may have a place here, there's gods all over, you know, little g's. So it doesn't leave out God, but it definitely leaves out the will of God, articulate, the will of God. That doesn't have a part in the culture of our world system. Now, the Christian, on the other hand, I don't know if you realize this or if you've ever thought of this, but the Christian, on the other hand, is built to manifest what God can do. If you think about that, you are built to manifest what God can do. In other words, the moment you were saved, and I'm talking about the instant you were saved, you potentially became an instrument of what God can do. And so you immediately were put on a different track, a different path than what the culture of this world system is encouraging. Now remember, the flesh wants to do. Let's go to Ephesians 2:10. So I'm not just making statements without some scripture. In Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship. You know, and this is where the Greek gets to be a lot of fun. You know, with that ma ending, the poema, the idea of the result of a doing. And so we're his workmanship. We're the result of his doing. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which the God has previously prepared that we should walk in them. And so I know most people probably come in here and they focus on, well, we should walk in them. And they kind of skip over the part that says that which the God has previously prepared. You know, because the flesh wants to do. You know what? The flesh can't do the works that God previously prepared. You can't do it through the flesh. Those that are in the sphere of authority of the flesh, they cannot please God. And so we're not going to be able to do the good works that God has previously prepared if we're walking by the flesh, if we're walking by the drumbeat of the world system. As Christians, we shouldn't want anything to hinder us from doing what we are designed to do. We are specially designed and built to do good works that God has previously prepared for us to do. You can't do that by the flesh. And so I want to survey through just some of the aspects of the world system. And just to get you to think about the world system, perhaps in a different light, keeping in mind some of the things we opened up with is that this world system, it promotes living by the flesh. This world system promotes independence from God. And so the first thing I'm going to talk about, or I'm going to mention, we're going to survey through, is commerce. Now, if you remember, I don't even remember how long ago it was, but a long time ago, we talked about some of these different things, and we went back into Genesis chapter 4, and we looked at the beginning of the world system and how some of these things fit in there. I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to talk about these aspects of the world system and keeping in view the idea of using and abusing. And so when we're talking about commerce, though, commerce is a big part of the world system, and it relates to the interchange of goods or commodities. And so when we start to put some of this together, commerce also relates to the concept of making money. Making money. money, you might say, has the potential to stimulate a lot of works of the flesh. Now, when we think of money, money carries value of stored labor. If you think about what is money? If you think of it in the sense of it's stored labor, and it holds value as stored labor. And so the more stored labor you have, the more options you have to secure things, to trade some stored labor for other things. And so, remember, the flesh wants more. The flesh wants to do. The more things, the more power, the more influence, the more control of your environment. More is involved. And what does the world system say? The world system says, you can have it all. and so you can have your cake also. And you can have it all. What does Scripture say?
What does Scripture say?
Well, we were here last week. Let's go to 1 Timothy and read the rest of the story, because I just read one verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 last week, and we want to go a little beyond that. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll pick up in verse 7 again. And so here Paul says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." So that's pretty important to think about. So the little bumper sticker that I've seen before that says, you know, the person with the most wins or something like that. What is it? With the most toys wins. That bumper sticker's lying. I don't know what they win, but maybe there's. But it's in contradiction with Scripture, because he says, the world system isn't promoting contentment, is it? Not that I know of. Part of the whole premise of surrounding commerce is around being not content, because you want more. And so in verse 8, what does Paul says? "And having food and raiment, let us therefore be content." It's enough. Food and raiment. That's not going to sell a lot of cars. Not going to sell a lot of toys. "But they that are determining to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition," or just we'll say ruin. And he says, "For the love or the fondness of money is a root." It's not the root, but it's a quality of a root of all evil, all kinds of evil. "Which while some covet after," and I really like what the interlinear does here, because I like the word hankering. It says, the interlinear says, "While some are hankering after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And so the world system says you can have it all. That doesn't seem to be what Paul's communicating here. When he says, "And having food and raiment, let us there be with content." You know, we'd almost have to consider ourselves just temporary here and just strangers and pilgrims passing through for us just to be content with food and raiment. Guess what? Let me take you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's read the last clause that's right before our verse of using and not using to the full. And so in 1 Corinthians 7:30, it says, I'm just going to read the last clause of verse 30. It says, "And they that buy as though they possessed not." And just the ones buying as not holding or grasping onto it. It's not, you know, don't be looking at these things as the end all, these possessions. They're just temporary things. You get too caught up on these things, I'll tell you this. If you've ever seen the movie or read the book, The Lord of the Rings, and what is the guy, what does he call the ring, the Gollum? What does he call that ring? Precious. And, you know, this is where you could have a thing. And it could be anything. Anything with that attitude of precious, my precious. That's abusing
the world system. That's, for a Christian, that's not seeing things as they really are. That's not recognizing your position in Christ. That's becoming fully occupied with something. And that's how the world system can get you. You can become fully occupied with something. It doesn't matter if it's a thing, if it's a relationship, or it's an activity. If you're fully occupied with it to the point that it's interfering with your relationship to the persons of the Godhead and doing the will of God, there's a problem. And you don't need to tell Houston about it. Now, let's move on. I'm trying to survey through some of these aspects of the world system. Urbanization. We'll talk about urbanization just briefly. And so we think of urbanization probably in the sense of bringing people together to create towns or cities, urbanization, right? But it's kind of as a larger meaning, and probably don't think of it this way, but it has the idea of bringing people together or centralizing. And so that centralizing or that bringing people together can be for comfort, convenience, for benefits. And so there's many forms of society that are brought together by urbanization. You might not think of it this way, but the internet could be something that is causes a urbanization because it's a form of centralizing, of connecting people. You know, the world is getting smaller. And so this urbanization, this centralizing, it stimulates zeal, selfish ambition, greed, rivalry, cliques, religious works of the flesh. And so this urbanization, this bringing people together, can potentially lead to compromises that aren't scriptural. I'm going to just use Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 as an illustration, because there's a lot of folks in Christendom that want to bring Christendom under an umbrella of and figure out ways we can all just get along. And unfortunately, that can bring compromise when we start talking about that kind of centralization. What's Paul saying in Romans 16, 17? He says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine. And so these divisions and offenses are contrary to the doctrine for belief and practice, which you have learned. And so they had learned something about doctrine for belief and practice. And he says, mark them, put a spot on those that are causing divisions contrary to that, because that's not something we want to compromise on. We don't want to be compromising when it comes down to doctrine for belief and practice, because it doesn't say, well, meet with them and find common ground and maybe you'll influence them for the positive. It doesn't say that. It says, and avoid them. That's scripture. That's not some standard that's coming from somewhere else in the world system that's saying, well, we should all be able to get along, shouldn't we? And so here you'll see how this can interrupt your service. It says, because what are they serving? It says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. But their own belly, their own desires, their own hunger. And through good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. And so there's just an example of a scriptural standard that the world system would take and turn it on its head. And just have you ignore that. This urbanization can also affect, by the way, where you live and what you plan to do. And so I'm going to use the illustration, the biblical illustration in James. Because remember, urbanization is the bringing of people together, centralizing for comfort, convenience, and benefits. And so these guys in James, who, and we've been here in the past, and you do have all three spiritual enemies involved in the larger context, but in James chapter 4, let's see what these guys were doing. And so in James 4:13, here James says, go to now, or just come now. You that say, remember, the flesh wants to do. You that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into this city. Why would they want to go to this city? They're wanting to go to a where people are centralized. There's some comfort, convenience, and benefits to be had. So we'll go to this city and continue there a year. Okay, so there's a little bit of pride and buy and sell and get gain. Sounds like they forgot about just food and raiment. But anyway, there's nothing inherently evil with making some stored labor, some money, and having some wealth. But let's go on and see where they get in trouble. It says, whereas you know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. So they're making plans for the whole year when they should be maybe thinking about today and tomorrow and what's God's will. That's the part they're leaving out. He says, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. We will do this or that. See, it comes after. The live, the do this or that comes after the Lord's will. The flesh wants to do it the other way around. The flesh wants to do and then says, well, boy, I sure hope that's God's will. Hope we can show God how much we can do for him by doing it our own way. You know, little Frank Sinatra in there. And so here we see that they're caught up with, it says, and now you rejoice. It's not rejoice in the Greek, it's boast. Now you boast in your boastings, your empty swagger, and he says, on all such boasting is evil. And it's malignant evil. It says, therefore, to him that knows to do good, and that is Agathos here, I believe. Let me just double check that as I say that. Verse 17. No, it's Kalos. And so this is that which is excellent to look at. This connects back to the will of God. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and is not doing it, to him, it is sin. It is sin. And so here we can see that these folks that James had in mind were operating independent from the will of God. They were going into this city and They had plans. You know, the world system had some influence in that. It fit in and made sense. It made sense. It was practical. There was probably nothing wrong with what they were doing in and of itself, other than they did it independent from the will of the Lord. Let me go on quickly. I'm running out of time, and I've got more education. Another aspect of the world system. I'm just going to comment on some of these quickly. So when you think about education, you know, education from the world system, quite simply, it's designed to make a person independent from God. I mean, that's the bottom line. It really is. It teaches you to rely on oneself rather than on God. In higher education especially, you see a lot of pride in man's abilities and man's understanding. Somebody who's highly educated in the world system, that person is one who's to be esteemed above others because of their level of education, their understanding. In other words, the world system puts value, more value, on those that are highly educated. As a matter of fact, many of the highly educated believe that it's the highly educated who should be making all of the decisions for the individuals that aren't highly educated. That fits into the world system and centralizing things. I think it fits in right with Satan's plans for one world government. But we won't go there. But I just wanted to talk about how the world system puts value on education to the point of giving individuals more esteem or more value based upon that. And that's something we've got to be careful about as Christians. If we had a couple doctors in our assembly, would they be of more value than somebody who didn't have an education or who didn't make very much money? Not in the body of Christ. In the world system, maybe, but not in the body of Christ. And so again, you see there, it offers a different way of seeing things. We need to be relating to Scripture and what God says, and so that, you know, each member of the body is just as important as the other. Each spiritual gift is just as important as another. And so we're not taking and placing more value on a person because of their their education or their wealth. We're all equal members in the body. And then I just have this last thing to say about education. I know I got to move on. Education, you got to be careful as a Christian, because that education can become an end in itself. Education, when you start looking at higher education, it's something that a believer can become so fully occupied with that he or she operates independent from the will of God. And so just keep in mind, we're to use it, but to not use it to its full, to not become completely occupied with it. It's just a means to an end so we can function here on earth as God has designed us to function. Not to show what we can do, but so we can show what He can do. I'm moving on. Human government. And so human government, I have a few things. Human government. So Satan's world system, it includes all of this human government around us. And it definitely appears to the works of the flesh. I mean, zeal, selfish ambition, envy, strife, anger.
Satan uses it to divide people.
You have people divided based upon differences,
nationalities, borders, and all of these things.
You know, this is where I think Satan likes to divide and conquer. He wants humanity to be divided in groups because then he can manipulate the groupthink of whatever group that is. The problem is we're in a group that we just were brought to remembrance. It's called the loaf. That's the group that's important. It's not these other groups that the world system is trying to divide you into. So when it comes to this human government, I guess I'll just comment on this, is our politics are in the heavens. The world system, Satan works people up into a frenzy, and they get focused on, I'm in this group and they're in that group. You know, politics can be something that strongly divides people. I think it's a real sad thing when I see Christians that are relating more to their politics here on earth and being separated or having problems with other Christians because of politics here on earth. There's really no place for that in the body of Christ because we're one in the body of Christ. And so there's no differences in politics here on earth that are worth overriding or jeopardizing that oneness that we share. So, but the world system wants you to see things in that way. And again, it comes back to how do you see yourself and how do you see the world? How do you see other believers? The world system is encouraging you to see things in a certain way that's different than what Scripture tells us of how we should see ourselves, how we should see other believers, and how we should see the world we live in. And so our politics are in the heavens. I'm going to group all of these together for time's sake. But when we talk about the aspects of the world system, amusements, entertainments, arts, music, and I'm going to include sports. All of these things, they kind of all fit together because these are things that appeal to the soul. These are things that can make you feel good or cause you to have an emotional reaction. But these things can create cliques or groups based upon preferences, tastes, affiliations, and loyalties. And so you can think about some of these things, whether preferences and amusements, you know, taste in the arts, your affiliations or loyalties with sports teams. You know, we end up aligning ourselves in certain areas and we tend to want to run with people that maybe have similar tastes or preferences or loyalties. Right. Yes. Good point. So we can say Oakland for one more year, right? Oakland Raiders. So we get to put Oakland in front of that. And once they're, I dare say, Las Vegas, then our loyalties go wherever you want. Anyway, but there you go. And so these things, in and of themselves, bad, they're not evil, but they can become things that people can be completely occupied with. They can interrupt your service, your focus on the will of God, using positional truth, how you relate to other believers. You might have more in common with this believer because you share a common sports team. Well, you got to be careful you don't have that interrupt how you're interacting with another believer that hates your team. Because God may have blessings and good works involved there. And so these are things that can become obstacles. So it comes down to how we see ourselves and how we see one another. Do we see other Christians as equal members of the body of Christ? Are we seeing ourselves and others based upon categories and differences that the world system has created or emphasized? Or are we seeing ourselves as co-members of the new creation? These are just things to keep in mind, to think about. I see the clock. I'll just finish up here quickly. Warfare is another one. All of human history is filled with warfare. It seems like Satan uses war and the threat of it. Keeps the world system operating under tension. There's tension involved. And so all of this we can ultimately trace back to Satan is attempting to consolidate, centralize his power and influence as part of the world system. I just want to sum up and just say a few things. Matters not what your race. Matters not what is your income. Matters not what's your education. It matters not what's your taste in music, sports, or the arts. It matters not where your politics lie. The world system would have you identify and occupy yourselves fully in these areas of distinctions. And the world system would have you occupy yourselves in these areas of distinctions with other like-minded people, so it could be believers or unbelievers. But the world system would have you do that independent from God. And so that's the danger, one of the subtleties of the world system. The world system is operating in opposition to God. We need to understand that. We need to know that. I'll just say this, but in Christ, is where we should be fully occupied and identified. That is by far the most important distinction for the Christian. That's where we need to be identified. That's where we need to be fully occupied. And I'm going to close in Colossians 3:11. And I'm going to translate in him here. So rather than where there, verse 11, start off verse 11, and Colossians 3:11, I'm going to start off with him. And it's based upon a little nuance in the Greek, but in him is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, Christ is all and in all. Now that's not world system really. And I'm going to just leave off right there. Don's going to pick up for me for a time being. I have not finished the series on the world system yet. I have to come back. I've got at least 2, possibly 3 messages to finish that up. So we will be back to that. Still going in a few weeks. Okay. Father, thank you again for the day. We're thankful that we're in the world system, but we're not out from it. In our position in Christ, we have the privilege to see ourselves as you see us. We see other believers as you see them. And so we pray that we might be brought to remembrance of these things. May it be a part of how we identify ourselves and how we identify with other believers. And we're grateful that this world system is passing away and that it's temporary. But as we have the opportunity to be here on earth and part of your plan purposes, we can use it. But we know that we shouldn't be completely occupied with it. So we're grateful for the privileges that we have in Christ. In Christ's name, amen.